In December 2005, Sidney Poitier held his two-day-old great-granddaughter Ayele in an Atlanta hospital and felt something profound stir within him. At nearly 79, this wasn't his first time welcoming a new family member, but something about this moment struck him differently. Four generations of women surrounded him: his ex-wife Juanita, daughter Beverly, granddaughter Aisha, and newborn Ayele, each radiating her own essence while sharing inherited traits. Most remarkably, Ayele appeared to be the female version of himself as an infant. This powerful moment sparked the idea for a series of letters that would become both personal legacy and bridge across generations. Born prematurely in segregated Miami in 1927, weighing just 3 pounds, doctors gave him little chance of surviving. While his father returned home to get a shoebox for his burial, his mother steadfastly refused to accept this fate. Against all odds, he survived, setting the stage for an extraordinary life that would transform not just his family's destiny, but American cinema and civil rights. Sidney's early years on Cat Island in the Bahamas were defined by simplicity. His family lived as subsistence farmers without modern amenities like electricity or running water. Until age 10 and a half, he had never clearly seen his reflection, knowing himself only through his shadow on a pond surface. This changed in 1937 when his family moved to Nassau, where he first examined himself in a store mirror. Despite minimal formal education under the colonial system, his parents possessed profound wisdom. His father taught him that each generation must protect the next, while his shy mother maintained spiritual practices, preserving their African heritage despite slavery's cultural erasure. They taught resilience by tossing him into the ocean to swim before he could walk. His siblings took different paths. Brother Cedric faced jail time, while Cyril stowed away to America and eventually funded college for all 10 children. His sister Teddy was fiercely protective. When a neighborhood bully knocked 12-year-old Sidney unconscious, she carried him home, revived him, then returned to thrash the bully, warning him never to trouble her brother again. At 15, Sidney left Nassau for America with little preparation. His first night in New York, he found work as a dishwasher for $4 per night and slept in a pay toilet at the bus station. He struggled managing his meager earnings, with want often defeating need. During winter, he wore all his summer clothes with only a light jacket. Standing frozen on the elevated train platform at 125th Street, he vowed that someday he'd make it. He discovered the American Negro Theater and, through persistence, landed a role in Lystrada on Broadway. Despite botching his lines on opening night, he received good reviews and caught a producer's attention. A pivotal moment came when a director ejected him from an audition, telling him to get a job as a dishwasher. He decided to become an actor precisely to prove him wrong. His life transformed when a Jewish waiter noticed him struggling with a newspaper and offered to teach him to read. Even after his first movie and starting a family, he vowed never again to be overwhelmed by the struggle between want and need. Sidney battled three significant addictions. He began smoking at 17 in the Army to fit in, reaching 2 packs daily. Drinking started socially but became problematic. Gambling evolved from friendly card games to high-stakes poker and horse racing. His epiphany came after losing $10,000 in Nassau when, looking toward his childhood home of Cat Island, he realized how many family members' educations that money could have funded, prompting him to quit gambling permanently. Sidney survived multiple life-threatening situations. In Miami, police threatened to shoot him while forcing him to walk 50 blocks back to the black neighborhood. The Klan later targeted him for questioning a white woman's segregationist views. In Harlem, he accidentally entered a riot and found himself in a looted store with police approaching. After escaping, he discovered he'd been shot near his Achilles tendon. He nearly drowned in Acapulco's powerful undercurrent. Most harrowing was his 1950 experience in apartheid South Africa, where using a whites-only bathroom put him in danger. When his driver suspected a plot against him, they arranged an armed escort to the airport, narrowly escaping an ambush at high speed. Throughout his letters, Sidney urges Ayel to find heroes from older generations whose character and courage can inspire her. True courage, he explains, springs from within, overcoming fear despite potential harm. Nelson Mandela stands among his greatest heroes. Sidney nearly met him while filming in South Africa in 1950 during apartheid's rise. Years later, after Mandela's 27-year imprisonment, he recognized Sidney at an event and embraced him warmly. Playing him in the 1997 film Mandela and de Klerk was both a profound challenge and honor. He also deeply admired Thurgood Marshall, whom he portrayed in film. Marshall risked his life entering hostile southern towns, sometimes sleeping away from windows or being transported in hearses to avoid violent segregationists. Jackie Robinson showed similar bravery, enduring targeted pitches, death threats, and racial epithets while integrating baseball. They later became friends and discussed civil rights strategies during vacations in the Bahamas. Other heroes included educator Rivetta Bowers, children's advocate Marion Wright Edelman, and Barbara Jordan, whose eloquent impeachment hearing speech captivated the nation. Earlier pioneers like Fannie Lou Hamer, who suffered permanent damage from a police beating, and Elizabeth Eckford of the Little Rock Nine, who faced an angry mob alone, displayed extraordinary courage against violent opposition. Family relationships weren't always harmonious. An inexplicable conflict between his father and Uncle David taught him about unresolved rifts when, years later, his father's eyes filled with sadness that their relationship could never be mended. We're all human and drawn to pleasures that give excitement, he reflects on addiction. But habits easily become addictions, often with just one first try. These experiences revealed how, when cornered, we're tempted to compromise for minimal harm, though surrendering to fear damages you even when it enables survival. In his final letters, Sidney acknowledges the fractured world he's leaving to Ayel's generation, more threatening than his youth, with city-destroying weapons, terrorism, financial uncertainty, and lingering racism. Yet he remains hopeful, noting that despite slim odds, early humans survived. There's never been a perfect period for human existence, he observes. When I was born in 1927, life was meager for my family while much of the world suffered. At 16, he saw no opportunities until serendipity led him to that Actors Wanted newspaper ad. In these letters, I leave an imprint of who I was, he writes. Life offers no guarantees, but the tools for meeting life head-on are acquired knowledge, belief, and hope. Learn as much as you can about as much as you can. The great disease of mankind is ignorance.